Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steve and Larson. Anywhere fine podcasts are available, be sure to hit that subscribe button because it really helps us, you know, break on through to the others. I don't know where I'm going with that one, man. Anyways, we're also on at the Patreon at patreon.com/Steve and Larson. We had like 107 new patrons over the last week, Larson.
That's a lot.
I got to start reading off some of these names. I really do, because they opened up their wallets to us. And every week I do this. I typically say, and I forgot to do it yesterday, but also I was so overwhelmed with how many patrons we got.
107 is a lot.
I know. It's a huge amount. So I'm just going to read off a bunch of them, and we'll just go from there. Oh, man. We had like so many.
We can do some today, some tomorrow, some of the dirt sheet.
Yeah, exactly. So let's see here. I think this is last Tuesday. Ooh, I remember these ones. I don't remember this. Master Snagman, Ethan Swicegood, Micah Harris, Henry Casey, Joshua Rutt, Jens Ries Moller, I think. Brendan Carlisle, Jordan Oliphant, James Goodfellow, Thierry Gagne, the phenomenal RJ Styles, Chuck Steele, Danvik Jaboyne, Jordan Cook, Ryan Bloom, Brendan Moffitt, Melvin Adams Jr., the Optim Haas Prime Aaron, Kyle Trevino, Christopher Groy, Going for the Pin, PYNN, Damian Richardson, Anthony Jaramillo, oh yeah, champion Sammy J. Curtis, Thomas Taylor, Kane Kirk, Aiden Chamberlain, Assad, this finna be a breeze, Jackson. There's a YouTuber named Haha Davis who has a series of videos where he says, this finna be a breeze. And then somebody starts yelling at him and putting the pressure on him in a new job. He's hilarious. Anyways, Timmy the Body Blackman, Tim McCarthy, Samuel Monsees, Aaron Gleason, and Eric Norling. I'll do a couple more. Heiko Sekel, Joe Thornton, That Boy Robinson, Andrew Quinlan, Sully Iqbal, Alexei Podolowski, Garrett Gill, Malte Dobin, Sean Radford, May Young's hand baby, the Steel City champion, Benny Yinzer. Geez, where's Friday? Man, okay, we're almost at Friday. Matthew Rude, Christopher Joseph, Jesse Norden, Max, Andrew Fakeney, Shane Wallace. That's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, thank you, everybody. Yeah, that's a lot of people. And, you know, it's trying times right now for creators across the board on YouTube, and we really want to say
yes,
thank you.
So thank you very much.
It means a lot to us. We have
it really does.
1,079 patrons, Larson. That's a pretty big deal. We're also at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. Check out our designs.
Yes, I have a new one on the way. I got to ask you about how to do something in Photoshop, and once I learn that, new shirt.
New design guru, Larson. I got my notes right here. I'm sorry, I did not print you out notes today.
I don't need
notes. I apologize.
What happened to the red pen?
I forgot. My dog ate it.
Really?
She chewed the shit out of it. It's useless. I threw it away. It's useless now. Anyways, now you get Nell's blue pen. I'm going to send this out to a $10 patron. I got to buy some envelopes first, and then I'm going to have a wholesale.
I see a stack of notes over there.
I got my stack of notes over there. So I'm going to do like a bunch of quiz questions.
Good idea.
And get rid of these for those $10 patrons. Anyways.
Let's talk about SmackDown.
Oh, my God. It was so much fun.
Yeah, it was a really fun show.
This show was everything that Raw wasn't.
Yeah.
The night before. It was fun. It was fast-paced. And I think
there were story developments.
And we got the first, if I'm not mistaken, on-screen encounter between AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura. I don't think we've really seen them on
camera. No, because AJ made a point of saying in their locker room segment, you know, I haven't had a chance yet to welcome you to SmackDown.
That's correct. And they are the two participants in, I would say, probably my favorite match over the past 5 years at least, which was their Wrestle Kingdom match right before they both took off for the WWE.
Yeah.
A fantastic match. Like, just amazing. And to see them truly be the focal point of last night's episode of, you know, the stage being set for Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
And the last shot we saw was a beautifully framed image of those two on opposite sides of the ring with Money in the Bank hovering above them. Absolutely beautiful. And yeah. I believe that they did the like you can see there's a parallel. They did like a dap thing and they did the same thing at the end of the Wrestle Kingdom match.
Yeah.
It just absolutely amazing. Two of my, I mean, just from a personal standpoint, two of my personal favorites in the ring together with loads of potential to come.
Yes.
Great, hopefully, foreshadowing of things
yes.
to come.
I hope so, too.
So I really, really enjoyed SmackDown last
night. Yeah,
me
too.
There's a lot to really like about it.
Yeah.
But it kicked off with Jinder Mahal, an entire motorcade, a police escort motorcade.
No, it was. Yeah.
How much do you imagine? How much did it cost to get a police motorcade?
I would think it has to be in the thousands.
I would think like 20,000.
Yeah.
I would say 20,000.
Yeah.
So, anyways,
but especially though, I mean, if the rumors are true and they didn't decide on the finish of the match at Backlash until a couple hours before, it's either one of two things: either everything for Jinder last night was put in place at the absolute last minute.
Yeah.
Or they had started the planning for this well in advance
mm-hmm.
in the event that the original finish of that match, you know, I guess initially the idea was that Vince was going to have Jinder win. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, over the weekend, he changed his mind, then changed it back a couple hours before the show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jinder said he didn't find out he was winning the title until the day of the show.
Yeah.
Which doesn't exactly confirm all the rumors about the indecision going on, but it lends some credence to it. So if this is a situation where they're planning both the motorcade and the celebration in advance, that's great. Expensive for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But if this is something that they plan literally within 24 hours, that's incredibly impressive and probably really incredibly expensive.
Well, the entire production of Jinder Mahal last night was very
fantastic.
Impressive.
It was fantastic.
It was fantastic. So yeah, something would tell me they probably got moving on it beforehand, and then Vince changed his mind. And either the people there are smart enough to realize, well, let's put them on notice that this might not happen. We might lose our deposit, but to be on notice that
yeah.
it might still happen, and
yeah.
we'll give you final confirmation Sunday at 8 o'clock.
Yeah,
that because that would seem to be most likely.
Yes.
You know, like they know. How many times has Vince changed his mind at the last minute? We might still need you guys.
Yeah.
All because it's a big production.
No, I would have to think that the celebration especially was booked and planned well in advance.
Yeah. Yeah. They might have been out some major dollars if they, you know, didn't change the belts. But anyways, the big police escort motorcade showed up. And, of course, the Singh brothers got out in advance. They grabbed my rug, which is in my front room. Have you seen my?
Yeah, yeah.
It's the same rug.
It looks to be the same rug, yes.
It's the same thing. They roll it out for the Maharaja. He gets out. You know what I noticed? One thing I noticed about Jinder with that belt, it's not second nature. For some guys, because they want it so much, it's second nature to handle it and know where the strap's going to fall. A couple times last night, he was like, God, this thing's big.
Well, during his promo, during his celebration, he tried to put it over his shoulder, and then the strap got caught underneath the plate, and so he had to hold it up, and then he adjusted
exactly.
it once he took a break from
Hopefully
talking.
Hopefully, he'll have it long enough to why are we rallying behind Jinder Mahal? It's a great story, right?
I think that's it.
It's a good story. I don't know why people wouldn't want to rally behind him. But anyways, so he gets out of the car, and he just sort of, he sort of smiles, takes it all in, and looks at his belt and starts almost laughing. He kind of has a half laugh going.
Yeah.
You know, what is he supposed to do? The camera's going to sit there for him on 10 seconds, and he doesn't really have much direction in terms of talk to the Singh brothers or just look very happy as a champion.
Yes.
Look like you have, hey, I just one face. And he definitely had that. He's got a great face.
He does.
So that kicked off the show. We cut to the ring. Shane McMahon comes down And he announces that the Randy Orton rematch clause will be kicked into place at Money in the Bank June 20th?
No,
18th.
And Money in the Bank happens in St. Louis, which is Randy Orton's hometown. Now,
ooh, we had a good question on the Twitter.
Given WWE's history with having hometown competitors lose in their hometown,
yeah,
what do you think the odds are that Randy reclaims the title in his hometown?
Okay, I'm going to say this. For Randy, that's not a consideration. I don't believe the hometown thing is a consideration at all for somebody of Randy's stature.
Probably not.
I don't think, because I think that...
But, you know, I think generally Vince likes heels winning in faces' hometowns to get heat on the heel.
Mm-hmm.
And if the plan...
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
Is
you're
for
right.
Jinder to have you're that right. belt for a while. This is one scenario where it makes sense.
Yeah, I know. I think, you know, I think that he's been such a talk of the town. It's been his title win has been so polarizing. We have questions about it today. It's been such an interesting transaction. I would hesitate to think they're going to take that belt off him anytime soon. I don't think it's going to be a quick championship run. I really don't.
I hope it's not.
Me neither. I'm so hesitant to say that he's going to take it into SummerSlam, but if he doesn't lose it at Money in the Bank.
What's the July? Oh, Battleground is the July pay-per-view.
Oh my God. There's one between Money in the Bank and SummerSlam. Oh my gosh.
There's one every month, man.
They're pumping these out. So they're firmly on a two.
Well, it's every 2 weeks, pretty much. Apart from the major four pay-per-views. There's two a month, each brand gets a pay-per-view.
So good. Wowie wow. So, yeah, I don't know. I would hesitate to say he would take it in a SummerSlam. It's a big pay-per-view, lots of money at the same time. When are they going to India? Are they going to do a tour of India? Is that one of the things people are talking about? Or is this simply because they got a big money TV deal?
I haven't heard anything about...
them touring. It was just they're setting up a larger presence there.
Yes.
Okay, right. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, so...
So after that, Shane announces or brought out the five competitors mm-hmm. for the Money in the Bank ladder match at Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
So out first is AJ Styles.
Of course. He's the look, SmackDown is the house that AJ Styles
built.
He is
the face that runs the place.
Correct.
Next, Baron Corbin. Then Sami Zayn. Let's go. Next, Dolph
Ziggler.
And they're really pushing the fact that he is not only in this match, he's the only person to have A, won Money in the Bank, and mm-hmm. B, successfully cashed it in.
That's correct.
That's Dolph's story in this match. Yeah. No chance of winning, though.
Those credentials are solid. Like
yes.
I said, no.
But it's not 2012 anymore.
No, it's not.
And then lastly, well, first, Kevin Owens comes out, and then Shane says, hold on, you're not in this ladder match.
Sir.
Here's the fifth competitor. And out comes Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah.
So already, with just those five competitors, this lineup is stacked. It is a stacked lineup.
That's what
lineup.
I was thinking, too. I was like, look at the talent in the ring.
Stacked.
And I saw AJ and Shinsuke next to each other. And I was like, oh, Steve's very happy right now.
Yeah.
Oh.
So right as Shane's about to go into his bit about, Money in the Bank, Kevin Owens says, hold on.
Yeah.
I won my match at Backlash.
Mm-hmm.
So, as did Shinsuke and Sami. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense that they're in there.
Yeah.
But why is AJ and Baron Corbin and Dolph in this match when they didn't win their matches?
Yeah.
I should be in this. And Shane says, you make a good point, Kevin Owens. You're in the match now, too.
Yeah.
So this lineup is even more stacked.
It's so stacked.
It's so incredibly stacked.
It's fantastic. They have all the wrestlers wrestling. It's fantastic.
It is. So later on the night, Shane announces that later on the night, two matches will happen. Baron Corbin versus Sami Zayn, a rematch from Backlash. And then for the main event will be a tag match.
Mm-hmm.
Dolph and Owens against AJ and Shinsuke.
And everybody got a great little promo bit in. Everybody, I thought it was really, really well done. I mean, just maybe it was part of it was, man, I'm really into this lineup right here. It's a fantastic lineup. And so everybody, with their little stories going on, everybody had their little moment to shine on the mic. And Shinsuke got the final word in, I believe, when he said, you guys know me as Shinsuke Nakamura, but you can call me Mr. Money in the Bank. So that was rad.
So let's just talk about this now.
Okay.
Early favorite to win.
Well, how's okay? I think that dark horse is Corbin. I think early favorite. I think they're really pushing the idea that AJ and Shinsuke are going to be. Honestly, it's hard not to say Shinsuke at this point.
Yeah,
it's hard.
What do you think the odds are of Shinsuke winning, and then the next SmackDown, he says I'm gonna put myself in the main event at WrestleMania. He just announces that. How great would that be?
Yeah, it'd be fantastic.
Because I don't see the way they book Shinsuke, him going the opportunistic route, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, I agree. I think, I think there is a very likely scenario where what you're saying, and I was doubtful of simply because I didn't want to get my hopes up. But AJ, because they're also pushing the narrative of AJ wanting to get that world title back. So AJ walks into WrestleMania with the title, and Shinsuke had declared that he's going to... Dude, that's it right there. And yeah. They can do that because they have the Universal title. They can dick around, have Roman Reigns beat Brock Lesnar. Who cares? I've got the Legacy belt.
Yeah.
That's the belt right here. This is the belt that we all care about.
Yep.
And it's on SmackDown. Man, who'd have thought? I know, like, I'm firmly past any idea that Raw is the big moment show. I really am. Like, I just don't care.
Yeah, I know.
They have Finn Balor. I wish he'd be on SmackDown, but whatever. Then I would have zero reason to watch.
Well, Seth is still on Raw. Seth is good.
I know. Seth is good. Samoa Joe's good. I just want to see them do something, man.
I know. And that's not the performer's fault. That's creative's fault.
It's killing my soul. Anyways.
Anyways, good segment. Great lineup for Money in the Bank. I can't wait. Can't wait.
This is going to be... Wasn't last year's Money in the Bank match?
That's when Dean won.
Dean won, but it was a pretty stacked lineup, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Because that's before the brand split.
Right. But this is better. Let's see here. So, yeah, that led to a tag match between Natalia.
Oh, okay. Sorry. No, sorry to mention that. Next segment was a tag match. Becky and Charlotte with Naomi.
Naomi hanging out.
To take on Natalia and Carmella. And, of course, they were joined by the rest of the welcoming committee.
Right. Becky was able to avenge her loss at
Backlash
by slapping that disarm her on Carmella. And making her tap out.
Yeah.
This is a fun match. Was this, had they already done? Oh, no, that was backstage later. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a fun match. I like seeing Becky and Charlotte get to be buddies.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
I was going to say after Backlash, we were kind of wondering how these two trios, how the storyline would play out, because mm-hmm. you know, like if they were going this current trajectory, we'd just see a lot of tag matches, mm-hmm. whether it be two women or three women, you know, four and, or 2-on-2 or 3-on-3 matches. Mm-hmm. But then segment later on, they start to kind of get away from that idea, and so everybody's they might be part of a faction or a line in some capacity, but they still want the women's championship.
Okay, so let's just do this, man. Let's just fast forward to that moment.
Okay.
We had Natalia and Shane backstage. She was bugging him about a title shot.
Yeah, because I guess Shane at one point said to Natalia, if you want a title shot, just ask.
Right, yeah.
And so she went and asked. And then Carmella and James Ellsworth come into frame
mm-hmm.
and make their case, as does Becky Lynch, mm-hmm. as does Tamina, mm-hmm. as does Charlotte.
I like that Tamina came in and then Ellsworth told her to be quiet. And then stopped giving him goo-goo eyes because she's been friend-zoned by him.
And then he said, duh.
Sorry, I got to get my Ellsworth appreciation moment in, people.
And so Shane says, next week there will be a fatal 5-way elimination match to determine the new number one contender for the SmackDown women's title. And that match will happen at Money in the Bank, I think.
Were you disappointed that he didn't announce what I thought he was going to announce?
Oh, the women's Money in the Bank
Everybody
match?
Wants it.
There were rumors.
Money in the Bank.
There were rumors that was in the
this
cards.
Damn pub table.
That was in the cards that they were going to announce a women's Money in the Bank match. What could happen? Maybe next week they have this match.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
There's some sort of weird finish.
Mm-hmm.
And then Shane says, okay, we'll just do it at Money in the Bank.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking the same. That's good. It's good stuff.
You never know.
Never know.
Never know.
It's a good thing about Smite. This is what I like. I like when you never know.
Exactly. All so right. After that, we had the rematch from Backlash, Sami Zayn and Baron Corbin.
You know, sometimes a roll-up win is fun.
I know.
This was fun. I love this.
There were a lot of roll-up wins this week.
Both got the jobber entrance. Nobody got their entrance.
That's pretty much the case for all the matches that featured people from the opening segment.
Because they all got their entrance. You don't want to do that again.
Especially when we only have 2 hours.
SmackDown.
And I like this week that they were still playing the matches during commercial breaks. Some of them.
Oh yeah, it's going to be a regular thing now. That was announced. Yeah, they're doing that. So yeah, that's good.
They said that during the women's match and then the tag team match.
They said it tested well the first time when they
did it earlier. Yeah, and they stopped doing it for a while. Yeah.
Yeah. So now they're doing it.
So yeah, Sami Zayn got a really quick roll up win over Baron Corbin.
Yeah, that was cool.
This made Baron Corbin very angry.
Yeah, so he started destroying Zayn
all around the arena.
What does Corbin destroys Corbin mean?
Oops.
That's great.
He did that spot where he put Sami Zayn's head on the barricade.
Investigate what Corbin destroys.
And starts dropping all sorts of elbows on his head.
You loved that, didn't you? That was great because the camera was right there.
It was right there. It was
just boom, 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 right on his face.
It seems so violent.
It's wonderfully violent. Again, tried to commit murders. He's thinking this is W. Steve W.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, it's not, though. Then we had my fat folder moment when AJ and Shinsuke were backstage. It was all perfect.
And AJ said, you know, I haven't had a chance to welcome you to SmackDown yet. Welcome.
He said we traveled the world and fought each other. We had our battles. We fought a lot, but we respect each other, I hope.
Yeah, I think pretty much. He said, but realize, this is... SmackDown is AJ Styles' show, essentially.
Mm-hmm. He said, so follow my lead and we'll be just fine.
Yeah, and then Shinsuke says, this may be your house, but after I win Money in the Bank, I'm going to make it my playground.
Yeah, and then he walks away and AJ says, playground? We'll see about that. See about that, Shinsuke Nakamura.
Good segment.
Great segment.
Next, Fashion Files.
Great.
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 Fantastic. And I even thought Shane did a fantastic job during this as well.
Oh, this was so good. This was so good. Their day one was slightly more ish. Their day one was slightly more H than ours. They were so depressed. They thought they were being fired as police, so they had to surrender their badges, their guns. Which
Tyler Breeze started taking his pants off.
They are kept. You have to understand. We are in the midst of what will be considered a classic run for these guys. This is literally the beginning of their breakout period.
Yes.
Where they will be hugely entertaining and then eventually it'll get old. They'll probably break up and then who knows what'll happen.
Yeah.
But I don't want to think about that.
No, I want to think about it while it's good.
This is amazing.
And I hope even
their
though
day one was slightly more H than ours. That's great.
Even after the results of the tag title match last night, I hope that's not the end of all this.
Oh, no. I think, no, this is going to go to Money in the Bank, and they're going to win at Money in the Bank.
We'll talk about the tag title match, the impromptu tag title match later on. Screw it. Let's talk about it now.
Okay.
At the end of this Fashion Files segment, Shane says, okay, well, you guys, your case isn't over yet.
Yeah.
So he said that Tyler Breeze would take on Jey Uso,
mm-hmm.
and then Fandango would take on Jimmy Uso.
Yeah.
Breeze beat Jay quickly with a roll-up. Chet Cheddarfield beat Jimmy also with a roll-up.
Yeah.
Took a little more time.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, Breezango challenged or wanted another shot at the titles.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Usos said, okay, let's do it right now.
Yeah.
Referee Mike Chioda put on a headset, conferred with Commissioner Shane McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
Shane agreed to the match. It happened right then and there.
Yeah.
Good match.
Yeah. Do you think it was a mistake, them not having them win the titles right now?
Yeah, because the crowd was hyped for that to happen.
So massive. They were so massive into it. And then when all the air left the building when they didn't win.
Yep.
So that was kind of...
I was kind of half expecting, because we had heard that the New Day were going to make their SmackDown debut last night. Turned out it happened on Talking Smack and not on SmackDown.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
The New Day showed up on Talking Smack? That's ill-advised.
And I was kind of expecting them to come out and maybe during the match... serve as a distraction for the Usos and the Fashion Police win.
Yeah.
Didn't happen, unfortunately.
Yeah.
How great would a Fashion Police New Day program be?
Oh, it'd be fantastic.
How great would that be?
All the best.
That'd be so great.
All the great. No, it would be really cool. I think I saw a rumor that said they were going to be taking on the Usos first, though.
Yeah. But they could still set that up. They could have
it could be
the Fashion Police.
It could be titleless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Fashion Police win the belt and then New Day take on the Usos.
Establish
the Fashion Police is you know, give them a good run.
It could be the same thing we're seeing in the women's division right now. You know, it could be New Day, it could like Naomi's champion, and you have Charlotte and Becky as the top faces. You can have
et cetera, et cetera. And it could play out. It could be that it's going to play out the exact way that you're saying, that you just said. It'll just be next week or at Money in the Bank. The Usos lose the titles thanks to interference of some sort of distraction from the New Day. And then that'll launch those two into a feud together.
Yeah.
So that'll be great. I thought that it was a missed opportunity to do that. But I think that we have to give some amount of, we have to give them the benefit of the doubt. We have to trust in them because it's been so good so far. And honestly, like there a case could be made that there is so much more entertainment in them chasing the titles.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Than when they actually get them, which I think will be fantastic. Yeah. But let's have them chase a little bit more because that's so much fun.
Regardless if they get another title chance or not,
those two are having so much fun.
And it's another case where competitors are getting an opportunity and they're hitting a home run.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely hitting a home run.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's talk about Jinder Mahal's celebration.
It was great.
It was fantastic.
I love that JBL was selling the living crap out of it. It was fantastic. That was great. They pulled out all the stops. They had like a ton of dancers and it was all, I don't know, it was all really cool. Like if I'm a wrestling fan in India, and I turn this on, I'm like, holy crap, this is really cool, you know? So mission accomplished in terms of the business side of things. Write down, I don't know what the dollar sign equivalent to, what's India's currency? Is it the rupee?
Sounds right.
Indian currency. Rupee.
Yeah.
It is the rupee. I would throw them all the rupees, all that I have. I gotta go back. Oh, I got my notes right here. It was great. Jinder Mahal cut another thing. I do kind of wish that he'd get away from the "you hate me because I look different" thing. Find something different. Find something a little bit different. But whatever. I thought it was great.
Yeah, it's great.
And I like that there was a fair amount of the crowd who was simply appreciating the fact that he's got the belt.
You know? I know.
That was
good
too. Let's see here. Then we had the
Fashion Police. Yes, yeah, this takes us to our main event. We covered everything else.
Oh, my goodness. Look at that.
AJ and Shinsuke against Kevin Owens and Dolph.
And I love this because literally yesterday I was saying how much I despise tag matches where singles competitors are thrown in. This is what is called the exception.
That proves the rule or just the exception?
Or to the rule.
Okay.
Whatever. I mean, I've never really understood the exception that proves the rule. Is this something that's like, it's so exceptional that it makes me, that it makes you remind, that it reminds you how crappy everything else is? I don't get that phrase.
I think that's what it is.
Okay.
Exception, but I see your point.
Proves the rule. You know what I mean?
It seems like a contradiction.
It's like, yeah. Anyways, this is the exception to the rule, man. Because here's the thing. Honestly, like, I will actually love anything that's well done.
Yes.
That's the thing. I will love anything that's well done. And these are so seldomly well done. And this was. You had AJ and... I'm not going to crap on anything that has AJ and Shinsuke Nakamura on the same team as a tag team.
Throwing Kevin Owens.
And then Kevin Owens and Dolph Ziggler on a team. I mean, that in a vacuum, I'll crap on. But AJ and Shinsuke, I'm not going to crap on that. I love KO, though. But it was also, it was a fun match. And guess what? The one the night before was a
boring match.
Another
thing this did was it developed storyline and potentially foreshadowed.
Yes.
Something that could happen almost a year from now.
Exactly.
That wasn't the case on Raw.
I know.
Exactly. The match on Raw felt like spinning wheels.
It was spinning wheels. It was, we don't know what else to do. It was... Let's just, hey,
we have these five guys that are going to be in a match in a week and a half. Mm-hmm. Let's just do variations of matches with those same five guys because that's storytelling.
Exactly.
But it's really not.
Exactly. This made sense, and it had a fantastic finish, Shinsuke. This was kind of interesting. There was two hot tags here.
There were.
Shinsuke was getting killed for the first third of the match.
For a lot of the match.
For a lot of the match, two-thirds of the match. He gets the hot tag on AJ. He comes in. He starts doing his thing. Then he ends up getting a hot tag on for Shinsuke. He comes in, delivers a Kinshasa
on Owens.
Kinshasa
on Owens to get the win.
Yeah, to get the win. And it was fantastic. It was amazing. You can tell Kevin Owens is really happy to be in there with Shinsuke. You can tell Dolph is really happy.
And they were not shy about mentioning the history that of course, that AJ and Shinsuke have had, but also mm-hmm. Owens and Shinsuke.
That's right. That's right.
They've wrestled in at least Ring of Honor.
Yeah. Yeah.
All in all, a really good, fun, enjoyable episode of SmackDown that developed stories.
Yeah. It was fantastic. They did a slam bang job.
Yep.
All right.
Looking forward to what they got in store next week.
Let us answer.
And I'm really excited about Money in the Bank because that lineup is incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah, no, me too.
I think week by week we should go back based on how the episode develops and do power rankings for Money in the Bank. Let's do that right now.
Okay, power rankings.
One, Shinsuke.
Power rankings.
I think we can agree that he's the favorite right now, yes?
Shinsuke, yeah.
Two. Corbin.
Oh, wow. Number two, Corbin.
So I think it's more likely for AJ to go into Mania's champ as opposed to having him hold Money in the Bank.
Agreed.
Three. But I'll say AJ at three.
Yeah, AJ at three. Four, I'll say...
Six is Dolph.
Yeah, we can put that now, Dolph.
And five has to be Sammy.
You think five or four is Sammy?
I'll say five.
I'll say five is Sammy,
and then,
really?
And then Owen's at four.
Let me think about this.
I kind of feel like three through five are kind of interchangeable.
Yeah, okay. Sammy. All right, very good. That's good power rankings for Money in the Bank.
As of right now.
As of 5/24.
Four. I just told you. Why do you have to check?
I don't trust you.
Because it's right here. It's on my computer. It's my laptop.
I don't trust that PC thing. I'm Apple for life.
With your PC sitting over on your desk over here.
Yeah, you got me. Let's answer some questions. First off, from I'm Not the Real Kenny Omega. I don't know if you guys have seen what Adam from What Culture said about Jinder winning the title, with him saying the title is a joke now because he was a jobber. What are your guys' thoughts on what he said? Well, Adam from What Culture, that is your name. I didn't actually see what he said.
I haven't seen it either.
I'm taking what you're saying here as gospel.
Okay.
I'm not going to do that.
I see his point.
Okay. So I see the point, and we love those guys.
Yes.
But here's the thing. We're older. We've been watching wrestling for a lot longer than they have. So our opinion is far more. I'm so joking. We're old and stupid. So,
I see their point.
I see the point, but also, how many jobbers have become champions? All of them. Everybody starts out jobbing.
I've seen a lot of people comparing Jinder's win to when JBL won the world title for the first time.
That's so apropos.
It is. I mean, JBL was a tag champion, and I think he was U.S. champ before that too, correct? But still, he was a guy who was a career mid-carder.
Yeah.
That seemingly out of nowhere got pushed into the main event.
JBL was a necessity that it's funny because when he was champion, I kind of poo-pooed it. But in retrospect, I look back on it, I was like, oh, well, that was actually kind of cool. Like, they took a dude, they completely transformed him, and he was getting mad heel heat.
Yeah.
He was doing really, really good stuff.
Jinder, he's been given an opportunity. He's carried himself like a champion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's totally believable.
Yeah, absolutely.
His performance... since he won that number one contender match, has been totally believable.
Yeah.
He carries himself like a champ.
When somebody's a champ, I'm sort of thinking this off the top of my head, but I'm trying to vocalize something that I always feel. When somebody's champ, okay, for example, when Bray Wyatt began, and it's funny because Brian Zane actually had a response to this.
Yeah.
And he said, I didn't hear anybody complaining when this jobber won the title.
Yeah, that was funny.
And he was absolutely correct.
I know, that was funny.
Because here's the thing. When somebody wins the title, you start thinking to yourself, How much on terra firma is this title reign? Could this disappear at any moment? Could this float up into space at any moment? With Bray Wyatt, as soon as he won that title, it was, well, this isn't going to last.
I think our first question was, how long is he going to have this belt?
Exactly. Because we knew that it wasn't going to be long. Like, we knew how that was going to play out. I'm really doubting... like, Jinder kind of feels like he's on terra firma right now.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's getting the reaction that I think they want. He looks great. I'm sorry, but one of his finishers took out Randy Orton. There was no kick out and he needed to do a second one.
Yeah.
If you're booking that strong, for that period when Bray dropped a Sister Abigail on Cena and he ate it, it was like, okay,
Now he might be closer to terra firma.
Yeah.
He might be there.
But it turned out that wasn't the case.
Turned out it wasn't the case. And as with Bray, with gender, it can turn around. I just think they spent like $50,000 between his police motorcade and the celebration last night. They're not going to take that away from him just yet.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so, man.
I hope not. I mean, in a perfect world, it'd been great if they had this idea. Mm-hmm. They're going to put the belt on gender. You know, take a couple months, set it up a little bit.
Right, yeah.
I mean, it just seemed like he got brought over to SmackDown. In the span of a couple of weeks, he was number one contender. Mm-hmm. And it's jarring. I understand that. And yeah, like I said, in a perfect world, give him even a month or two to string some wins together.
Yeah. If he had had a Rusev-esque build when Rusev was going on that first great U.S. title reign before Cena came along and ruined it all, if that was his trajectory, then this would probably feel like a lot more on terra firma. But the suddenness of it, the transformation of his body, which I know is can be polarizing, all of that, and just the fact that he does need to get some lozenge, though. He needs to get something for that.
Oh, yeah.
That voice of his is going very quickly. Maybe stop screaming at the team. Maybe he's watching TV screaming at it. Maybe he's a fan of the Celtics or the Spurs. Maybe he's a big Spurs guy. Fan,
yeah.
Could be a big Spurs guy. I don't know, but he sounds like me after I've, you know, been
done a whole day of yard
either
work.
Either doing 3 hours of yard work in fresh pollen season or a post pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Or an Okada match. So he's got to get that figured out. But it feels, and I think it's especially sort of because there's nobody that's clearly waiting. Randy Orton, we knew, was right there. We knew, knew how that was going to play out.
Yeah.
There's nobody right now waiting. You know what I mean?
No.
So,
well, unless they bring Rusev in. I mean, he was supposed to be on SmackDown, not this week, but the prior week, got pushed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the fact that we've been hearing rumors that it's gonna be Rusev and Shane at SummerSlam. The fact that Rusev hasn't been on TV and wasn't included in the Money in the Bank match might prove that.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So, assuming Ginger holds the belt at least two SummerSlam, maybe after.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the idea is to have Rusev get involved in the world title scene because they had a bit of a storyline going on Raw before Rusev got hurt.
Yeah. Now, the big thing, to be completely honest with you, to be frank with you, the big thing is going to be if he dispatches with Randy at Money in the Bank. Let's say that happens. Seeing Jinder interact with what we consider kind of the stacked division, which is the U.S. title scene, or now I guess you can call it the Money in the Bank scene. Seeing him and how they sell him is going to be the big sort of that's going to be the big litmus test as to how we will take him.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, there's always that standard wrestling convention. We saw it with like Stone Cold, who I think probably lost to people like Savio Vega when he first became Stone Cold. You eke your way up the ladder, and eventually you turn a corner into a guy who's booked really, really strong.
Yeah.
And you never know. It's always just sort of, okay, well, why is his finisher now being booked really strong and it wasn't 3 months ago or a year ago or whatever? So I don't know. It's just a silly wrestling convention. You know, now Jinder's stuff is being booked strong, and you sort of take that again. For the guys who've been watching wrestling for 20 years, or 25 years.
But again, I understand Adam's point, and it's a completely understandable point.
I mean, that's the flip side of it. That is absolutely the valid flip side of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, open invite to those guys. Come on the show and debate us about it.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Anytime.
Yeah. Anyways, Connor Dunmore has a question. So Larson has been given the GM role of Raw, and Steve has been given the GM role for SmackDown. You need to make a four-way match to main event Mania using one current Raw superstar, one SmackDown superstar, one WGPW wrestler, and one fun wrestling wrestler. Who is in the match?
So who's your SmackDown superstar?
Oh, AJ Styles, obviously.
Not Shinsuke?
No, it's AJ.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, SmackDown is the house that he built.
All right. Who is your WGPW superstar?
Well, how about you choose that and I'll choose fun?
Okay. Well, I got to choose my Raw superstar first.
Yeah.
Because you picked AJ, I'll pick Finn.
Ooh, interesting. An all-club affair. Well, with that in mind, the one fun wrestler I want to choose is Lenny Omega.
Ooh, good choice. Well, I guess I got to choose Bokata.
Yes, that's right. Oh, my goodness. The New Japan alumni. I like it. What
we
a
just
great
booked
match.
An awesome match. We Discord really Club leader Adam Fella.
With another Patreon question.
Could Johnny Curtis be a star given the correct gimmick?
You know what? Fandango, that's Johnny Curtis. He could be a breakout movie actor.
Yeah.
With the way that he can pull off comedy.
His comedic timing is fantastic.
The dim-wittedness. But then if you look at his Chet Cheddarfield stuff, it's a completely different comedic aspect that he nailed.
Yeah.
He could be an amazing comedic actor. He really could.
Yes.
The question is not, though, about movies. It is, could he be a star in the correct game? Here's the problem. He's been locked into Fandango long time.
Here's the thing, though. Granted, part of it was the post-WrestleMania Raw crowd. He was starting to get a lousy gimmick over.
Yeah,
because he was self-aware enough to be invested enough in the gimmick to make it entertaining,
mm-hmm.
but to also completely acknowledge how absolutely ridiculous it was.
Yeah, okay, let me ask you this, though. Playing devil's advocate. Dave Meltzer tweeted something along the lines of Tyler Breeze's ceiling is probably Santino. Because he was specifying Tyler. He was sort of, somebody had mentioned the Fashion Police and how great Tyler Breeze did during that match.
Yeah.
And he said, we've known, I've sort of had an eye on that for a long time. I've known that he's had that ability. He said the downside of it is, his ceiling is probably Santino because of it. Number one, Santino only had to retire because of injuries.
And he had a pretty decent career.
And he had a fantastic career. Now, it's very, very seldom that you can get a guy like, let's say, Kenny Omega, who really, really loves and appreciates, and according to him, actually prefers the comedic thing to the dramatic thing. But he can do both.
Yes.
I don't know a lot of guys who can convincingly be world champ and pull off an amazing comedic match. I think Cena probably could do that.
Oh, yeah.
But if you're starting off as the comedy guy, that's probably going to hinder your world title aspirations.
Potentially, and especially because it seems like WWE will give mid-card titles, historically speaking, to more comedic wrestlers.
Yeah.
But I can't think off the top of my head, and I could be completely wrong, of someone who's won the world title.
Yeah, I know.
With a more comedic gimmick.
I know, yeah. Even a guy like, let's say, Val Venus, who had a very specific gimmick. Not sure. I think he could have.
But he wasn't, a comedic.
It wasn't overly comedic. Yeah, you're right.
It was just an over-the-top gimmick.
Yeah, like Santino, you never would have. He was way too comedic.
Yeah.
And Fashion Police are definitely in that territory right now. But my thing is this, like, world title isn't everything. It's kind of a business tool, you know?
Yeah.
And
Santino won, I don't know, several belts.
Oh, yeah. He was, I think,
multi-time champion. He's a U.S. champ and Intercontinental. I think he's a tag team champion, too.
So that's not a bad ceiling to have.
No.
So, yeah, I don't know. Anyways. And then on top of that, as you've seen these days with guys like Jinder, with guys like Drew, well, shit, they're a three-man band.
Yeah.
Like, who would have thought? You know what I mean?
I know.
You can go away, reinvent yourself, and come back within a matter of a couple short years.
Yeah.
So anything can happen.
Yes. Broken Jacob Omega. Hey, friendos, how would you guys book the Fashion Police for the next few months? Just give them time on TV.
Yeah.
Give them opportunity. And so far, with every opportunity, they have hit it out of the park.
Here's the funny thing about the SmackDown Tag Division. Number one, I'm sorry, but at this point, if you have the New Day and you're the Fashion Police, they're supremely over.
Yeah.
Make American Alpha heels.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Bring Shelton Benjamin back.
Yes.
Give him his 3-week honeymoon with the crowd. Turn him heel with American Alpha. You have a devastating faction.
American Alpha's motivation could be pretty obvious. We got left behind, and we're not cool with that.
Yeah.
That's all it needs to be.
Oh, my gosh. Turn them heel.
Yep.
They could be money.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. Haley Morrison. Seeing as Jinder's entrance got revamped, whose entrance would you change, and who has your favorite entrance? I mean, probably Shinsuke has my favorite entrance.
Yeah, it's really good.
You know
Aleister Black's good, too.
Oh, yeah. It's brilliant.
You know, the one little thing I would change about AJ's entrance? Don't cut to the ramp until he's already there in position.
Yes.
Because he walks out as... I said this a million years ago. He walks out doing the airplane walk. And that doesn't really... That's not that dramatic. Cut back to the ramp when he's already like this.
I kind of feel that way about Finn's entrance because sometimes he'll come up before the smoke is completely filled up the ramp area and you see him walk out. It's great when he walks out and the smoke just kind of dives down and he's revealed.
Oh, no, I know. It's good.
It's way more dramatic.
No, I agree with that.
That's it. Minor details.
Matthew Barisic has a highly upvoted question here. He says... He says, book an a lot of people want to see an Aiden English world title push because he says, book an Aiden English world title push. I have to book it over the next 2 months. You have to book it over the next 2 years. So I'll start while you think about it. Over the next 2 months, I'm going to say this. I'll say, a month from now, Shinsuke wins. So He number one, first off, next episode of SmackDown, he gets a win over Ty Dillinger. Then they do the rubber match next episode of SmackDown in a street fight, and he wins both of those because Ty Dillinger is he's going to get released in the next 6 months. Can you imagine that?
That'd be such a bummer.
Oh, my God. Hey, you know what? Apollo Crews turned around. He can too. He was on Talking Smack, though.
Oh, yeah?
I think so, man. That sucks. Next up, the artist known as Shinsuke Nakamura wins Money in the Bank. The artiste, Aiden English, challenges his artist title and goads Shinsuke into putting his Money in the Bank title on the line. Shinsuke does. In a fluke victory, ends up losing his Money in the Bank contract to Aiden English. Meanwhile, Randy Orton, so steamed at the Bollywood Boys getting the better of him in the main event of Money in the Bank, because Money in the Bank took place earlier.
Yeah.
And Aiden English goaded him into doing that earlier.
This is an exciting show.
This is all Money in the Bank.
This rivals Survivor Series 98 right
I know,
now.
It's very intricate.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Steamed at losing... or winning via DQ, so the title doesn't change hands, just drops Jinder with like 8 RKOs, which is enough to literally kill a person. But he's Jinder. He's the Maharaja.
Yeah.
So he's not dead, but he's damn close. Aiden English comes down to cash in. I need a ref. I'm not as good a singer as Aiden English is. Cashes in, wins the title. Boom, I just did it in 1 month.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Over 2 years, his singing gimmick gets over.
Okay.
He does the heel that gets so popular that they have to turn him face.
Yeah, it's good because that's going to happen.
Yeah. And then he starts putting together victories.
Yeah.
And then next year at Money in the Bank, what you said happens.
Oh, next year. Okay, I like it.
Yeah, give him a year build.
Very good.
Okay. Done.
Awesome. Well done. Good question, Matthew Barisic.
Great question. Discord Club designer Manuel GDP.
That's Manuel Garcia de Paredes.
Do you think now that 3MB members have risen to prominence, there could be a chance for social outcast members to climb their way out of jobber status?
Bo Dallas, you can plunk him. You can plump him down in the main event at any time, and he'll be legitimate.
Yeah.
I don't actually think that's true, but I think that he can be put on the right path.
Yes.
And get to that point.
Yes.
They were all talented guys.
Oh, yeah.
They were all good.
Yeah, they were.
That'd be something else, though, if Curtis Axel, Bo Dallas. Because I could see Curtis Axel going away and coming back.
Yeah.
I could see that happening. Bo Dallas, they can pull a trigger on him at any time. I don't know.
They're not doing anything with him.
It's really weird.
You read this next question. It's for you.
Haas Helmsley?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Hunter Haas Helmsley from the UK has a question for me, seeing as you have so much man love for both Sonata and Aleister Black. Say you were part of a medical experiment and you had the choice of transplanting this brain right here into either Sonata or Aleister's body for the rest of time. Which one do you choose and why? Thanks. Keep up the good work. It would be Sonata. That's a no-brainer. And I'll tell you why. Aleister Black has already gotten all them tattoos of his. I want my own tattoos. I don't want the Japanese one that took a year and a half is fantastic. Looks fantastic. I don't want that business on my back. Sonata, I think, is relatively tattoo free. If he has them, I don't think it's, he doesn't have sleeves or anything. So, and on top of that, I think Sonata is a much more chiseled athlete. I think he's got genetic athlete, whereas Aleister Black, I think, has worked hard for his physique. Because that dude, if he has a couple cheeseburgers, he'll have a boiler. I can kind of already tell. Like, looking at his butt, looking at his midsection, it's like, well, that's not the most toned midsection. I think he really has to work at that.
Could be.
I think Sonata, that's genetics right there. That dude is a freak.
Yeah.
Plus, on top of that, Aleister Black has thinner hair up top than Sonata. Sonata's got that amazing...
Yeah, he's got a fantastic head of hair.
It's beautiful.
It really is.
It's so thick and full.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. My heart be still, Larson.
Oh, JT. Hey, friendos. What do you think... What do you guys think are SmackDown's plans for Rusev? How would you book him for SummerSlam? Well, rumors say it's going to be Shane versus Rusev for SummerSlam.
Yeah, I would keep him out of the title scene for right now. Just have him be pissed off that Shane didn't put him in Money in the Bank.
And didn't give him his title shot.
He comes back, he fights Shane at SummerSlam, wins. And then maybe like they do something interesting at Survivor Series around then. Maybe. Okay, so Jinder has the title now. Who do you think walks out of SummerSlam as WWE champion?
Let's assume Jinder retains against Orton at Money in the Bank.
I could see AJ maybe, unless you think they're going to do AJ KO. Which after
I can see that feud going on until SummerSlam.
You think so?
Yeah, I can see that.
Maybe.
Because they have Money in the Bank, then they have the July show, and then have their blow-off at SummerSlam. So I can totally see that. So assuming Shinsuke wins Money in the Bank.
That leaves some very interesting options. I hope it's not going to be Orton, but it might be Orton at SummerSlam. Because there's a lot of heels that.
What
deal
about?
With.
I'll put this out there. What about Jinder and Sami Zayn?
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
Because they had a little bit of a kind of a minor, small feud going on, kind of at the same time as Orton and Jinder too.
Here we go. How about this? Jinder versus Mojo for the title at SummerSlam.
They also have a storyline going back to WrestleMania.
I think it's gonna be Mojo versus Kurt Hawkins in
the pre-show
in a delete your Twitter match. Paul Iannotta says or Iannotta. Paul, let us know how you pronounce it. Do you think it was a mistake bringing the New Day back and putting them straight into the title picture? Whoa, what? He's fast-forwarding a week.
Yeah.
The Fashion Police have a lot of momentum right now. Maybe they said something on Talking Smack.
Well, they were asked. I just read a breakdown of it about, you know, what they want to do on SmackDown. They just kind of said there's a lot of really good teams.
His general point right here, though, he says, I think bringing in the New Day will cut off all the Fashion Police momentum and kill their push. If that is the case, if what you're saying is true, that you think they are bringing them in for a title push, yes, I think you're correct. That will kill their push. I think they should do it more like they've done with Charlotte.
Yes.
Establish that she is dominant. She can beat the champ, but sidetrack them.
Yeah.
While the Fashion Police, everybody wins there.
Yeah, exactly.
They do not need those titles.
No, not right now. Name explain. Hey, friendos. Newish Patreon here, but still haven't had a question answered. Do you think they've made the U.S. title too prestigious?
Kind of turned out that way a little bit. But I don't think you can make something too prestigious. I think it's a good problem to have.
Yes.
Like I said, it'll be interesting. Number one, Randy Orton. I'm sorry, I'm going to say this. Randy Orton in the pantheon of the WWE Universe is above all those guys fighting for the U.S. title. Just because that's where the pecking order is right now.
Yeah, legacy-wise, he's
legacy-wise,
a 13-time world champion.
He's like the Cena. It will be interesting. Like I said earlier, when Jinder interacts with any of them, it'll be interesting to see how they book them against him. He needs to be on the same level at least.
Yes.
I know, and that's including shenanigans with the Bollywood boys. That's okay. That's part of his arsenal.
Yes. I'm totally cool with the U.S. title and the world title being pretty much on the same level, because I'll go back to New Japan, where their world title and the Intercontinental title are more or less on the same level.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I think that's great.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I agree with that. Tommy T, do you think the fact that Nakamura can't cut a good promo in English, is that going to end up holding him back? Because I don't think you can just get by with just Mystique on the main roster. Okay, so I understand that you mean his, you know, obviously the dude is not, you know, terribly proficient in English.
I think it actually kind of works for him, to be honest with you, because it's and I'm not just going to put it on Mystique. It's he's a guy who says few words, probably by necessity, but the few words he says, I think he gets the point across effectively, and it's kind of a case of less is more.
Yes.
That's my take on him. I think I don't think it'll end up holding him back at all.
No.
I honestly think it plays into his character.
Yeah.
He's the guy from a faraway land, if you will.
Well, I noticed this week especially, they were really starting to bill him as not only the artist known as Shinsuke, but the smack or wrestling's rock star.
Yeah.
So
and,
no, I completely agree with your premise.
Yeah. Let's see here. Fashion police informant Gary James. He says, with WWE running out of creative ideas, they've asked you to go through the history books and book a current roster superstar in a situation or story similar to one from times gone by. He says he would book something like Sami Zayn and like Tommy Dreamer, have him finally win the top title, only to lose it immediately when he hasn't even had a chance to wear the belt. Probably to like a Kevin Owens cashing in Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
That would be a heartbreaker, but that's a good example.
That is a good example. I'm trying to think of if we could recast the CM Punk, John Cena, Money in the Bank situation. Someone that is on a huge popularity surge like mm-hmm. CM Punk was at the time with his contract running out.
Mm-hmm.
Beating, you know, the face of the company and Cena taking the belt and more or less saying, I'm going to wrestle around the world defending the WWE title.
Boy, wouldn't that be something if that guy could be Daniel Bryan?
I know.
If WWE would clear him for one last match before his contract was out.
I know. And then Ashley let him defend the WWE title elsewhere. How incredible would that be?
Yeah.
He shows up at an Evolve show,
yeah,
defends the WWE title.
Yeah.
How awesome would that be?
Oh, my goodness. That's a good one.
In progress. Something like that.
Yeah.
You know? That would be awesome.
That would be fantastic. Can't do better than that. Let's see here. Here we go. Adam Mayhem says, with the Maharaja as the WWE champion, do you guys think he can become this generation's JBL? A year-long title reign is probably not part of the plans for Jinder Mahal. But I don't know, man. I mean, it's just a different time. JBL was, I think, if I recall correctly, it was sort of a necessity thing because somebody got injured or something happened. They were just low on like quality heels.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure because, yeah, I mean, if you kind of think about his run, it's not like it made sense.
No, but he had that belt for a long time.
He had the belt for a year.
Almost a year, yeah.
I think it was because he was killing it. Like, yeah. They put it on him. It was like, holy crap, we actually have come up with a really, really solid character here,
yeah.
And he's doing a very good job.
Yeah.
That guy had so many blood matches.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, like every other match of his was like a blood fest.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a walking horror movie.
Mm-hmm. Discord Club Cleaner Optimus Crime. I think that's what it is. Hey, friendos, quick question. Of all time and from any promotion, what five wrestlers do you think have the best ring gear? Best ring gear, all time.
Best ring gear of all time. Have you seen War Machine's new helmets?
No.
They're amazing.
Really?
They're really cool.
That's more entrance gear.
I'm going to say Road Warriors.
Okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, entrance. I'll include entrance attire with that.
Okay.
I'll toss that in. No good?
No, that's fine.
I like entrance attire, too.
Yeah.
Okada.
I'm going to say,
robe
is
a million bucks.
I'm going to say Raven because when I was a Raven fan, that's like what I wanted to wear all the time.
I know. I think it's what I did wear a lot.
Yeah.
Black comic book t-shirts and cut-off jeans, jorts.
And flannel shirts.
Yeah, man. Are you kidding me? No, I love that. That's a good one.
So we have three?
Three. You got to love what Shinsuke wears because you can see his entire dick. The black leather with no underwear. That's cool. Let's see here. And you're a striker? Got to be careful with that dingus, man. So that's four. You didn't like, did you like HBK's male stripper accoutrements?
It worked for him.
The chaps.
Completely worked for him.
Crap with the collar.
It completely worked for him.
It did. It was so ugly, though. And the funny thing is, like, in his, I think, an interview, I think it was on his documentary, he was like, I didn't really know how to dance. I didn't know
what
I
was doing. Yeah, I remember that, too.
It's so funny.
I like this Aaron Gleason, Book of Baron Corbin, Money in the Bank, Run In and Cash. Money in the Bank, Run and Cash In. Who does he cash in? I kind of would hope that that would be a sort of situation where Baron Corbin with Money in the Bank would this would be kind of different. He would almost be like a stalker. Like, they'd have to do some stuff outside the arena or outside, like, in normal day.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, we had a crew following Sami Zayn, you know, a day in the life for a new 24 special, and then in the background,
you see Baron on his motorcycle.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, and then he cashes in and just beats the crap out of him, like at a, I don't know, Target or something.
So it's like the hardcore title now.
Yeah,
you can cash in Money in the Bank 24/7, as long as they have a ref with you.
Yeah.
So Baron's
isn't it like that though? Isn't it like
no? That? I think it's being the ring.
Oh man, what
so
a bummer.
Not only is Baron on the motorcycle, but he's got a ref with him too.
Well, I'd like him to do the thing where he wins a Rumble too, and so he has a guaranteed title shot.
Oh, so like he wins the Rumble, has a match at WrestleMania, loses, and then cashes the Money in the Bank right afterwards and wins it.
But you know how he loses though? DQ by just completely and
there
utterly using that Ulysses Killer, the stairs, everything.
Chair.
Just annihilates him, like concusses the guy.
See, that's a good idea.
Yeah, and then cashes it in, and then boom, there's your guy.
That is actually a really good idea.
All right, one more question here.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we didn't really address this. Adam Cole Guy, Cisco Javi, baby, says, long-time listener, new Patreon, thank you.
Thank you.
What are the chances of Rusev being added to the upcoming Money in the Bank match?
I suppose it's possible. I think the way they have it now, though, is that you have three pairs of competitors who are already involved in feuds.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say less than 50%.
Yes.
Because it's simply, he's obviously going into something with Shane.
Yes.
I really firmly believe that's going to be SummerSlam match. And it's all the motivation in the world to set that up by excluding him from Money in the Bank.
Yes.
Time for trivia. Today we're doing Attitude Era and Golden Age.
What, you have Attitude?
Attitude and Golden Age. No, I'm joking.
Oh.
I've got Classic and Modern.
Oh, okay. Why are you tricking me? Because
Golden Age isn't one of them.
Oh, okay. I wasn't really paying attention. I heard Attitude Era and I was like, whoa, hold on. We'll start with Modern.
Okay.
I'll ask first. Which superstar won the Elimination Chamber match to face Alberto Del Rio at WrestleMania 29 for the World Heavyweight Championship?
Oh, Edge.
Jack Swagger.
Oh, what?
Edge had the belt.
Oh, yeah. Okay, whatever. It was all just a mishmash of crap back then. What former friend did Triple H defeat in a sledgehammer ladder match at TLC 2011?
Former friend?
Former friend of Triple H.
The Triple H one? Or
yes, Triple H one.
Ric Flair,
Kevin Nash.
Oh yeah, I forgot they had that feud for some reason.
Yeah.
After Edge had to vacate his half of the WWE Tag Team Championship due to injury in 2009, what gigantic superstar stepped in as Chris Jericho's partner?
Well,
yep,
it's a big show. Edge became the WWE champion once again at the 2009 Royal Rumble when what champion was betrayed by his own brother?
Undertaker.
Jeff Hardy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess that makes sense too.
No.
Not doing too well today.
No.
He might as well just put a finger up. What former WWE diva appeared in several GoDaddy commercials that aired during Super Bowls?
Candice Michelle.
Yes.
After CM Punk indoctrinated Festus into Punk's straight edge society, what new name did Festus go by?
Doc Gallows.
Oh, God, no.
Luke Gallows.
Yeah, Luke Gallows. Put a finger up.
We're now on Classic.
You're now on Classic. This is
what
this is as good as I'm going to do.
What future WWE Hall of Famer won the inaugural Royal Rumble in 1988?
Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Correct. Good job.
Who did Bret the Hitman Hart defeat in the finals of the inaugural King of the Ring pay-per-view event in 93 to become the first King of the Ring?
Lawler.
Bam Bam Bigelow.
Oops.
I never would have guessed.
SummerSlam 92 was held in London, England, and native son British Bulldog won the Intercontinental title by defeating what superstar?
It was Brett?
Yeah.
Okay. I think it was either Brett or Owen.
It was Brett.
Yeah, okay. It was Brett.
It was Brett.
There was no universe in which it was Owen. WrestleMania 9 saw the WWE Championship change hands twice. Who left the event with the title?
Brother, I'm the man.
All right. Well, you got four? Wow.
Got four.
All right. You have to not get this one. Although most people remember Paul Bearer as The Undertaker's manager, the dead man debuted with a different manager. Name him.
Brother Love.
Good job.
Five. What was the name of the tag team formed by the Big Boss Man and Akeem?
I have no idea.
I thought this was a different duo, the Twin Towers.
Okay.
I would have thought that if you said, who are the Twin Towers, I'd have said Sid and Dan Spivey. Who are Sid and Dan Spivey?
They were the Skyscrapers.
That's close!
You get three cards. 2 weeks in a row.
Coming back, baby. Everything evens out, man. You're evening out Kayfabe Corner. I'm evening out Trivia. I'm just going to pick 3 years. Hopefully I get one with a fine-looking female in it. Oh, yeah. Sexual chocolate Mark Henry from SmackDown. Oh, no. Well, and Rikishi. What? I don't get it. What's the point of this card?
Is it like a matchup thing?
Raw, SmackDown. Two very different big men. Big Show and Rikishi bring unique benefits to Raw and SmackDown, respectively.
Well.
And I have, oh, God. John Cena. And he's giving Eddie Guerrero a
suplex.
Suplex, yeah. And he's got some like cool basketball shorts on. WWE aggression. John Cena attempted to take WWE by storm, and he nearly did.
Well,
he did.
He did.
He debuted on the June 27, 2002 SmackDown and challenged Kurt Angle. The newcomer came within inches of beating the gold medalist, earning the respect of his fellow superstars. That is clearly Eddie Guerrero, not in the debut match of John Cena. Why are they putting this on a card? That's terrible. Anyways.
Look at that picture of Triple H.
Oh my God, that's like something out of my nightmare. Hey, Steve, I'm coming to get you. What are you doing down there, Triple H? Down in the abyss of my nightmare. Anyways, that's it for now. Tomorrow, of course, we have our NXT 205 Live recap.
Yes.
So on and so forth. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.